This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. There's been much in the news of late about the rise of illegal narcotics, such as heroin, being trafficked into the United States, and its spread beyond the youth in our inner cities to their comrades in the suburbs. But in addition to this concern, there are always new dangers facing our kids with regard to the use of both legal and illegal drugs. We'll hear with more on this is Michelle Kaliva, Administrative Director of the Upstate New York Poison Center. Welcome, Michelle. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So first of all, how are we doing here in Central New York with the use of illegal heroin? The last time you were in, you indicated that the volume was up at the Poison Center. Tell us about that.
It continues to rise. So just to give you an idea of numbers, we had 250 cases at the end of 2013, and we're already beyond that this year.
And that's overdoses.
And that's overdoses.
In the use of heroin
specifically. In the use
of
heroin specifically, yes.
Wow. Why do you think there's been this growing increase? What seems to be at the source?
Well, and I think it's somewhat of a perfect storm. We know the availability of prescription drugs has gone down because of the I-STOP measures and because healthcare providers are being more cognizant of writing large prescriptions at one time, large amounts at one time. So it's much more expensive to get those agents on the street. So it's a perfect time for the folks that are distributing the heroin to lower the prices and make it more accessible. In addition, all the synthetic drugs that are out there are less expensive and had to be.
So the point is that things like initially we talked, I remember, about the relationship of why kids go or why people go to heroin, as it's cheap for one, but they were using, many of them were using prescription painkillers like oxycodone, I mean off-label, they were using
right.
them to get high. And now you're saying, and they would get addicted to them, and so they needed something because they were addicted. Mm-hmm. And with the fact that it's now less available, those drugs are less available, they're turning more and more to heroin.
And heroin is less expensive. Heroin used to be expensive. It's now less expensive.
I won't even begin to ask why that is. But that's still very scary. And I guess the truth is there's still quite an influx of this stuff coming into the country.
From a variety of sources from overseas. It's pretty impressive.
So what are the dangers? I mean, it seems self-evident, but what are the dangers and consequences of this increase? You're saying you're having more calls to the Poison Center. What's happening? Are people dying?
People are overdosing. People are showing up in emergency room, in departments by ambulance and not resuscitate. You know, they're not able to resuscitate them. They are in respiratory arrest. They're comatose. Pretty significant number of people out there with really awful, awful consequences from this. Respiratory depression, CNS depression. They're lethargic. But in addition to that, heroin's a nasty, nasty drug. So people are getting addicted. It's very hard to come off this.
Yeah, I read somewhere a very, very stark statistic that the fatal heroin overdoses increased 45% from 2006 to 2010, with over 3,000 deaths reported that year. And obviously, we're way above that.
And we're continuing to see it, yeah.
Very, very scary stuff. If you're just joining us, by the way, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Michelle Kaliva from Upstate's New York Poison Center. We're talking about the rise of heroin use, and we're going to talk about some of the new dangers on the street for kids. So what is going on? What are some of the newer things you're seeing? Because you're always on the front lines of this. What about e-cigs or e-cigarettes?
E-cigarettes. So our concern with e-cigarettes, first and foremost, had been little kids getting into the liquid nicotine. It's flavored. It's flavored bubble gum. It's flavored blueberry. So a small child unknowingly could easily pick it up, take
and
it,
and overdose
swallow
with that.
And get sick from it. And little kids, they get excessive vomiting. They get their heart rate goes up. They can have seizures. It's pretty horrific. It doesn't take much nicotine to make a child sick. So that was our primary concern. But now we're finding that devices like e-cigs or vaporizers are now being used for organic marijuana use, but as well as for the synthetic stuff. So you get a real strong, concentrated inhalation, and the effects from it are much, much more pronounced than you would expect from taking it any other way.
So apart from this whole notion of the e-cigarettes themselves, which obviously were marketed as a way of quitting smoking for some, I mean, there's still been a lot of concern, even with adults, you know, fully cognizant adults using these e-cigs in terms of all kinds of problems. potential carcinogens in them and even a gateway to smoking for younger kids.
Right.
And they're marketed to younger kids. I mean, there are all kinds of problems around it. But you're saying, in addition, what it's done is develop a whole other pathway of these inhalation devices that are now being used with synthetic marijuana and any number of other...
And organic, you know, regular grown marijuana. And the part of it is that the way the device works, it gives it a very concentrated byproduct. And that's what's being abused. So, you know, somebody's expecting to feel high or feel euphoric, and in fact they start to feel very sick, very paranoid, very aggressive. It's really producing pretty significant and scary symptoms.
And also a thing that strikes me about it is right now there's virtually no regulation of any of these things.
No, I mean, certainly movement, and people are aware. I think our legislators are becoming increasingly more cognizant of the fact that these are problematic. But right now, we're
just kind of the Wild West.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Wow. So what else are you seeing on the street of concern?
Well, I'm really concerned, back to the heroin for a minute, that how vulnerable our young people are. I was in a community, it was not in Onondaga County, but I was in a community near Onondaga County recently and heard that people that were distributing or selling heroin were actually giving free samples out to the high school students.
Oh my God.
Just as a way of luring them into the addiction.
Oh,
so that's the kind of stuff that's getting disconcerting. The other thing that is worrisome is that things are being sold as heroin, but in fact they're not heroin, they're oxycodone. And even worse, things are being sold as oxycodone and it's actually heroin. So there is this pill.
So things are not pure.
Right.
You really don't know what you're getting. You really don't know where it's come from. And obviously when you're doing something that's illicit, you can't.
There's no regulation.
You can't report it.
Right.
You can't analyze it.
Right.
You're basically going on faith. And the last time you were here, we were talking about that there was fentanyl-laced heroin that was actually causing deaths. And so now you're saying that there's actually heroin-laced OxyContin?
Yeah, so oxycodone and heroin together being sold. There is a pill that is supposedly in some of the states, we don't have it, I don't believe yet, in New York State, that is a pill form of heroin that is being sold as oxycodone. So the person is thinking they're buying oxycodone, and in fact they're buying heroin. And, you know, is there a distinction? Sure, they're both opioids. Heroin's a little tougher to, much tougher, actually, to actually come off of. So the addiction tends to be a little bit more intense. And the issue with the fentanyl is that fentanyl can produce a longer-acting CNS depression. So you could be unresponsive longer. You need higher doses of the antidote. So you just don't know. You think you're getting heroin. You think you're getting oxycodone. In fact, most of the time, the little $10 bags of the heroin are only 25% heroin. They're filled with baking powder and starch and all sorts of other medications. You know, as we say, fentanyl, it could be lidocaine, it could be quinine.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't really know what you're getting.
And so have you seen the results of that in terms of the calls to the poison center? Have you seen, you know, the fact that not just an overdose from heroin, but an overdose from some kind of tampered
Absolutely.
Combination?
We see it all the time. In one of, again, in one of the counties, there were 9 deaths. And when they... when the medical examiner actually did the report, they were not heroin deaths, they were fentanyl deaths. But that individual thought they were abusing heroin.
So what are you seeing in terms of who's coming? I mean, what's the demographic now? Because we talked before about the fact that at one point it had moved from the inner city to the suburbs. What is it looking like now?
It's actually that exactly. Just to give an example, a PhD biochemist professor in one of our communities that just overdosed. Just to give you an example of the range. So it's everybody from inner city to rural America to the suburbs.
It cuts across all socioeconomic, education, everything.
I have not been to a single social event where somebody has not come to me and said, off the record, can I tell you about my niece, my nephew, my son, my daughter? I will tell you almost on a weekly basis someone, and it will tell me that they have somebody in their family.
So it sounds almost epidemic.
It does.
So my question to you then is, what can we do about it?
There's been some great initiatives out of the governor's office and the New York State Department of Health. There's a great website that's out there that is addressing concerns around heroin. It's really written in very good, plain language. There are some PSAs that are out there warning people. It's always education. It's education. It's parents being aware of the fact that kids are being exposed to this on their high schools, and they may be unsuspecting that there's heroin being given out is a free sample. I mean, I find that one so disconcerting.
It is. Terribly.
We just have to keep on making people aware and keep and doing this program is a wonderful thing, because again, hopefully your listeners are going to say, wow, you know, could heroin really be in my family? We have to start realizing that heroin can be in anybody and everybody's family.
I know at one time, and I remember in my youth, which is quite a long time ago now, you know, it was always I remember probably in a public health class or in a health class, some film that showed somebody becoming addicted, and it was almost like it was literally death on the door. I mean, you know, you're going down the road never to return, and it just put the, you know, fear of God into you. And it seems to me today that I don't know whether the education efforts are correctly targeted or kids are just inured to it. They figure nothing can happen to them. It's more part of the culture. I mean, it strikes me that we have a larger issue here, even in terms of, I don't mean to say permissiveness of the culture, but the fact that they don't understand the full ramifications of what it means to become an addict.
And I too remember those films. And when I think of the heroin addict of my day, it was somebody who was emaciated,
right,
and
down
dirty
and out.
And down and out, and there was a needle in their arm, and right, they were dead. In fact, I often will start my lecture that way, because most people will remember that. You know, we live in an experimental age, and there's some very, very bright young people out there. But when we look at the demographic of the heroin, it's the 20 to 29-year-olds. It's not the younger. It's that.
So it's not going down into middle school at this point.
We're not seeing that, but, you know, anecdotally, we hear about that in the high schools, but it's that 20 to 29-year-old. I think the saddest story that I just heard was somebody told me that a family member took heroin for the first time and said, wow, this is the first time I felt good in my life.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think we have a generation of people that are self-medicating. There's a larger issue here. What's making people want
that
euphoric state?
Yeah,
and that's what we need to get to. We're not doing that right now because the issue is so big. The acuteness is so big. We're addressing that, but we do need to
just trying
drill
to
down.
Stem the tide, yeah, at this point.
We need to drill down what's actually causing people to need that euphoric state. What's so not okay about their life?
Well, the world is pretty troubled.
Right.
As you look everywhere, the world is troubled, and so many young people in that age range, many of whom couldn't get jobs.
Right.
And would end up doing things that weren't part of their dream. I mean, you could probably,
right,
paint a picture,
right,
you know, culturally as to what might contribute. Mm-hmm. But clearly the answer has to be education. And somehow, you know, there have been more, I've seen more ads that are trying to, you know, hit that group. And I guess we just have to keep fighting the good fight.
Absolutely. And be vigilant. Parents need to look for paraphernalia around the house and ask questions.
Well, thanks so much for coming in. Such important information. Let's hope that we can at least try to stem this tide. My guest has been Michelle Kaliva. She's administrative director of the Upstate New York Poison Center. Once again, thanks for coming in. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.